Good morning, everyone. This is the Code Enforcement Board meeting of February 9th, 2017, and I'd like to call it to order. Madam Secretary, may I have a roll call?
Good morning.
Hi.
Mr. Weatherholt?
Here.
Mrs. House?
Here.
Mrs. Hine?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones called and said he would not be able to make it.
Okay.
Mr. Pundit?
Here.
Okay.
Is there a motion to excuse Mr. Jones?
So moved.
Second. All right. Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Any additions or corrections? Motion to approve?
So moved.
Mr. Smart made the motion. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Disclosure of ex parte communication. Does anyone need to disclose anything? All right. Do we have any announcements, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Madam Chair. We do have a couple cases that are on the agenda as in compliance. I can go ahead and read.
Go ahead, please.
Number 7 for CEB 011707 for 448 North Park Boulevard was in compliance February 1st, 2017. Okay. And there's an actual typo there. That should be case 8, the next one, but it's up to 9. So
okay.
We're off a digit. CEV 011708 for 511 Park Drive, compliance January 25th, 2017. And we do have one, page 4, number 11, CEB 021712 for 1248 Mason Avenue, compliance February 3rd, 2017. Case number 13, staff is withdrawing, CEB 021715 for 136 Maplewood Drive. So they're withdrawing that one.
Which one is this now? Number 13?
Number 13, yes, on page 4.
Okay.
And we don't have any.
No, yeah, there is no. Well, yeah.
Eight. Oh, yeah, no. Better.
It was just a misprint.
Right.
Well, then you can wait till the lane.
We do have.
You're done.
If you'll just hold on 1 second, I can let Mr. Jackson see that in the hallway.
Okay.
John, can you call me? And I believe that's all for the announcements. We may have number 14 worked out. That's what they're discussing.
I hope so. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah. We're ready. We're not there yet. We're waiting for everybody. Okay. Okay. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak directly into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. All right, now we have two attorneys in the room. Okay, so we're going to start with the lien review because I like to go in order. What case is this? This is the one we're working on? Okay. Are we working on it or not working on it?
We're ready for that case as well.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Let's just start with the lien review, so we'll just get this done. Okay. Case number CEB 0508-163 at 484 Gulf Boulevard, Arthur and Audra Hafferty. This is lien review number one. Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is before you for a lien review. The inspector has advised that he's had communication with the current owner and her attorney, was Mr. Wickersham. Basically, this is a circumstance where the property was in the hands of a brother, a relative, and it kind of felt.
I remember the case.
They ultimately had to do probate and resolve it. It cost a whole lot of money. They did a whole lot of work. And so the position of the city is that we are asking for a reduction of the lien. Both this is lien number one and lien review number one and lien review number two are the same applicant. And we're asking for a reduction to $500 on each of the liens. So on lien number one, reduction from the $6,154 to $500, and lien number two the same.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to come forward? Is there anything you'd like to say?
Just Madam Chairman and members of the board, pleasure to see you all this morning. Thank you for granting us the opportunity to be here. No, Mr. Jackson summed it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Circumstances here, I tried to explain in mm-hmm. our application mm-hmm. to you. And so not to belabor the point, we'd be very grateful if your board would accept that explanation. Sometimes when people hear the word trust, they think it's the Rockefellers. That's not yep. the case here at all. This trust has $1,300 in it total, other than this property that's subject here. And we have to clear the title, and even then we're going to end up in another lawsuit in circuit court in what's called a partition suit to force the sale of the property. And so the battle is still because of one particular person who I think this board will remember the appearance before the board is continuing issue with the other family members. But we appreciate the courtesies of the board if you would adopt the recommendations that Mr. Jackson said.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll answer any questions.
I have a couple of questions. Is someone from the family in residence there, or is the property vacant, or...
The family are residents of other states, and the home is used certain times of the year. But when it is used, it's used by the gentleman who I think this board will remember having appeared.
I remember. Is there anything to stop him from coming back there while no one else is around and causing more potential code violations?
Truthfully, no. What we'll do when we file the action in circuit court is I'm going to ask for an injunction to prohibit him from coming on the property. But I can't represent to you today right. that is already an accomplished fact.
Okay, those were my questions.
But we intend to follow up exactly on that.
Any other questions from the board? I have a question. Mr. Jackson, will that cover the costs, the $500?
Yes, Madam Chair. I spoke with staff, and as far as penny to penny, I couldn't say that, but staff is well satisfied that covers the cost. In this circumstance.
As long as it covers the cost, that's my concern for the city. There's a lot of time involved in doing all these code cases.
We have this question all the time.
We do, and I ask it all the time.
I think that, you know, when you come here with the case, if we're covering cost, we ought to know really what the costs are. I mean, even if you make it up, we're saying we're covering the cost, we think.
Yeah, well, Mr. Harrington and Madam Chair, in this case, we're really not asking you to cover the cost because we're looking at the circumstance where over $12,000 have been invested in accomplishing a major task that's solved the problem that we really needed solved. So while we know that that's much often our standard in this situation, we really looked at the whole picture and we recognize there are the circumstances that will warrant a major reduction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $500, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. Himes, second. Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Now, I don't think we need to do anything about the second case except read it into... Unless, is there other, anything else?
No, Your Honor. Same circumstance,
same,
$500, same.
Same solution. Are there, well, let's just do this anyway. All right. Case number CEB 0216-11484 Gulf Boulevard, Arthur Hafferty and Gary M. Hafferty. Lien review. Would would you like to come forward, Mr. Wickersham, and say, and if the city's fine with it, then we'll just listen to you and see what happened. I do have a question.
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Okay.
The circumstance on this particular one is virtually identical to the first one that we mentioned. The only thing I would add is that when my client is here, who's one of the co-trustees, and is also the individual who advanced $10,968 for the demolition and the cost of the painting, saw that it needed painting, she immediately set out to have it corrected. But unfortunately, as I mentioned in my notes when I wrote why we were asking for the reduction, she suffered a very severe brain aneurysm and was in therapy and rehabilitation for over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is the only reason that one lingered as long as it did.
Okay.
So we appreciate your courtesies and understanding the situation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the board? All right, hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $500, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. Good luck. Okay, let's move on to our continued cases, right? And I think... were we going to change the order of anything? Did anybody want to do that?
Yes, ma'am.
What case, sir, are you on?
Three.
Oh.
Okay. Principal Eagle Capital LLC. All right. If you'll come forward, and then we'll hear from Code first. Okay. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector's report is Danny Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that this was a situation where it started with not having the best people or best situation at the start, but at this stage it has a good contractor who is getting the work done. They're almost finished. He's asking that we amend to the next cutoff to allow them to come into compliance. I'll tender Mr. Garcia if you have any further factual questions of the staff. Oh, I'm sorry. I said next cutoff, but I meant the April cutoff.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's 2 months. Yeah. Yeah, everybody's lucky. We're not having a meeting next month. You're getting an extra month.
Especially us.
Huh? So what has been done, Mr. Garcia?
Good morning, Inspector Garcia.
Good morning.
With the City of Daytona Beach, my credentials are on file. But as you see in the pictures, the first set, the first four will show the after with it. This is the beginning. And basically they put all the exterior there, putting on all the exterior and also the, right there, the,
okay,
those pictures, it's what's left. They got one side, I think I believe it's the south side that needs to be finished, and a little portion up top on the front. other than that, it's about almost done. They said definitely by the next month, before then, they'll be done. And the owner's here to even...
Okay. Is this property vacant?
Yes, it's vacant.
Okay. Is this a rental property?
That I don't know at this
point. Okay.
It's not.
But it's vacant at this point.
Right. It was vacant when it started, and it's still vacant.
Okay. All right. All right, Mr. Lovato, do you have anything to tell us? What is it?
Travato.
Sorry. Yeah. Good morning. Would you identify yourself? I've never met you.
My name is George Travato, 200 East Graves Avenue, Orange City, Florida. Most of these pictures are from probably 8 or 9 months ago. It actually looked worse than the pictures he had taken when I had purchased it. And there were people living in it at the time. In fact, I had asked them to actually vacate the property once it was sold in a foreclosure sale. So I was kind of surprised that the city had not acted prior to that, because most of the conditions that you see there was a major improvement. This is actually the way the house looks now. And we have, like he said, we have a contractor working on it. But my understanding is, we've had to pull a permit, and that kind of put us on hold for about 2 months to actually get the permit, which was issued, I believe, the second week in January. But my understanding is, in order for me to come into compliance, that the building has to be painted. And in order for us to get to that point, it would be probably somewhere in the vicinity of about 90 days.
How many?
90 days from today. Probably sooner, but 90 days, because the eaves are all rotted, which doesn't require a permit to replace, but we'll have to do that. And then the whole backside, all that the vinyl siding would match the house. So all that has to be taken out as well. But with the weather, and we're weekend warriors, the contractor who's on the job only has guys available on the weekends to help me out, because it's a family member who works for the contractor who pulled the permit. So it's not like we're out there every day of the week. We're out there either a Saturday or a Sunday. If it's too cold or it's raining, we're not able to work. And so we're doing the best we can. And we've done quite a bit in the last few months. And again, that's an old picture of what it looks like.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
All I can say is our order for repair does not consider whether you want to hire family friends or they only work on weekends. When we ask for something to be done, we issue a date, and we're talking now about extending you to April 2nd, which is what, 60 days?
My understanding from the very beginning was that there's a front door, and like I said, that's what it looks like now. There's a front door. That door on the side is not the front door. We needed a stairs on the side door, which was not being utilized. Nobody lived there. But I understand that the city required that they wanted us to have a staircase there. In order to put a stairs there, if it's higher than 30, it's up to 30 inches, it would require a permit. It's not higher than 30 inches. It's only 24 to 26 inches off the ground. And so it doesn't require a permit, but we were asked to get one anyway, and we did. The other problem with the code enforcement, if you look at it, was that there was rotting wood on the side there, and that there was paint peeling, and so they wanted the rotted wood replaced and the building painted. Well, we put brand new siding on the side. We've got a permit for it and put back. So, in my opinion, we've dealt with the stair issue. That's in compliance. We've dealt with the rotted wood and the paint and peeling. That's done. Now the question is, how do we finish the rest of the house? And the rest of the house is not in violation, but we have a permit that allows us, I believe, and at least it did when I worked in Deltona, it gave us 6 months to come into finishing the project once the permit is issued. So that's where we're standing at. So I don't think we're asking for anything other.
The length of the permit has nothing to do with this. Our decision as to being done. That gives you a period that you can work on it if we decide to give you 6 months, but we're not talking about that.
Yeah, if I could just clarify one thing, I think it may help a little bit, at least according to Inspector and just what Mr. Travato said, they put the siding up and painting is not required.
Right.
So there's not, what he's describing is really over and above what's required for compliance. And that's why we have recommended and said that they're just about done for what's required for compliance. Now, the issue is going to be the issue of final of the permit, I think is what the inspectors are saying, and I'd have to... And I don't know if that delay, because of the fact that they're painting, if that's the situation or not, I'd have to look to the inspector to inform you that further.
Mr. Weatherholtz?
Through all of it, you're talking about painting and everything with the violation, but then you said that you there's things with the eaves.
Yeah, there are other things that when you paint the house, you want to be able to have everything completed when you paint it. You don't want to paint the outside of the house and then take the eaves off, not the eaves, but the fascia board on the, and then paint the fascia board where you get paint everywhere else all over again.
Well, you know, if you're, you know, if it's just the fascia board, but it's not, you know, when the soffit or the roof is bad or
whatever. No, it's just the fascia board.
You know, that would take an additional permit. I don't know what the permit, you know, that is. Anything that's structural is required a permit. And, you know, when you go into the eaves or anything.
I believe the permit that he has covers that. The problem was in the beginning was the exterior surface, peeling paint, rotted wood.
Understood.
He had the choice to either paint, repair and paint. He pulled the permit for the exterior and decided on doing, put it on the siding. Being that he put the siding on, it eliminates the portion of painting. The painting he's probably talking about is maybe wood on the, like, the front, certain areas, the trimming, that kind of stuff that he's going to need to paint, which shouldn't take much time. I think he's got most of the siding completely done. He's got some on the south end, a portion there, and on the front a very small amount at the front top window. The stairs, the permit he's got the stairs for, he did the stairs. I believe starting there was concrete stairs, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. No? Wooden? It was wooden. They removed it, and he had to replace it. That's the front right there. There's the side, south end. And that's all he has for the siding. He doesn't have much painting to do because he replaced it with all siding. It's a concrete block exterior.
So,
Port Jersey and here, we're concerned with the code violations.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
The last thing for him to do is to do the painting. We're not concerned with the siding and all of that.
He pulled the permit, and the permit he's going to have the it was applied for, issued. He obtained it, and now he's going to call for a final. Once he gets the final, that's it. He's done.
As far as the violation is concerned, I've already dealt with it. As far as the violation is concerned, I've dealt with that. Now we're going, like it's not really, you know, I appreciate you saying that. It's not going above and beyond. I'm doing what I need to do to make the house look and fine, good for the community. What the violation was the side of the house, not that side, but the side of the house had peeling and rotted paint, rotted wood. We've taken the rotted wood out, and we've replaced the rotted wood, and then we've put this is the side. And we've done that. So that's complete. That violation is gone. The stairs was the second violation. That violation was gone. Prior to that, what wasn't cited as a violation, but I was given notice, was there was a refrigerator in the back, and one of these pictures was a rotted refrigerator in the house that we had taken out. That's gone. And then you can see, not in that picture, but and then in the other pictures you'll see the debris and other things, all that's been cleaned up and done.
Okay. I appreciate what you've done. I think that since we're not having a meeting next month, that we'll just give you until what I'd like to do is just give you until April 5th, which is the cutoff date, correct, to just get done what is in this case. That's all we're concerned with, is what the violations are in this case. We're not concerned about another thing at this point. So I'm going to make a motion. The chair will entertain a motion. I'm not going to make a motion. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the 5th of April, 2017, to come into compliance and return to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So
all right. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Himes. Mrs. Himes, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay.
You work it out, George, and you have to come back.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm sure we'll be able to.
Okay, good. All right, let's move on. Now, do you want to, are we, what are we doing about case 14?
Yes, Madam Chair, if we can go to that case now, I would appreciate it.
We certainly can. All right, we're going to move to case 14, which is a new case. CEB 0117-01, Eric and Julia Compton at 334 Georgetown Drive. All right. Are you an attorney?
I am, but not a lawyer. Yeah.
Okay. So, but she doesn't. Does she need to be sworn in? Oh, sorry. I don't know.
I'm acting as an attorney. I'm just acting as the homeowner.
Okay. So, please, you come forward and be sworn in. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can you state your name, please?
Julie Thompson.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. We'll hear from Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. As you see, this is one of our cases dealing with short-term rentals. This is one where the circumstance arose from an application that was done back in 2015. There were some things that were challenging in the way that staff was still handling it back then. So we have some issues in conflict that we're able to solve to the extent that we are asking for a finding of compliance and non-compliance, but we're asking for compliance to be for the next cutoff, which would be the April 5th cutoff. So, I've spoken with Ms. Compton, and we're actually stipulating to that. Again, there's some issues within the application itself that just, from a legal perspective, we thought would be a good way to resolve, allowing for the next cutoff for them to get everything wrapped up. So their intent and their plan is to get it wrapped up consistent with the requirements and the desires of the city by the April cutoff date. And so, me saying that again, we're asking for a finding of compliance and non-compliance, and for compliance to be by the April cutoff.
Can you explain what the issues are?
Non-compliance cutoff date.
Right.
I'm saying that
okay,
wrong.
I got it.
Okay, I'm saying
I got it. Well, can you explain what the issues are?
This is a short-term rental. There were some issues with the application that may have left some
people
misunderstand.
Short-term rentals are permitted?
No, in some zones they are, yes, ma'am.
In this zone?
In this zone they are not.
Not yet, please.
And so we're asking them to come into compliance and be found in non-compliance, and they will do that based on
so
the circumstances.
So right now there are people living in this?
I don't know that answer.
Okay.
She said no.
Okay. All right. You will. I'll give you all the time you need. Does anybody have any other questions for Mr. Jackson?
For me or for
yeah. No. I thought you would have a question. That's
you have. Have you ever lived in this house?
Okay. No, we've
so
never lived.
It was purchased basically to be a rental.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm not supposed to know you're an attorney, but as an attorney, did you know they had restrictions on short-term rentals?
No,
and that's what I would speak to when it's my turn.
Okay, but you are aware that that ordinance does exist now.
I am now, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, why don't you go ahead right now?
Ahead.
Yeah, okay. Please.
Basically, we bought the house in March 2015. Before we bought the house, I'll just tell you, I'm a realtor also. when we were looking for the houses, I made the point of trying to figure out, you know, which towns would allow short-term rentals and which ones wouldn't. I went online to the city's website. I found the page about the rental program. I read through it, didn't see anything on there. whether or not, you know, that prohibited short-term rentals. It talked about all the requirements. I printed off the standards. I went to the ordinance. There's a section about rental properties and what you need to do. I went to that. Couldn't find anything about it. My mistake, apparently, is not knowing that there was the land development code where there were some provisions where I understand the city, you know, takes the position that those provisions prohibit short-term rentals. I'm not too sure I would agree with that, but I get it. That's your position. I understand. So at that time, did not see anything at all. We bought the house in March 2015. We started renting it at the end of May 2015. After we bought it, I went through all the procedures. I got the business tax receipt. I got the rental license. We made substantial changes to the house, updates to the house. Spent a lot of money on it. You know, we put in a new AC. We resurfaced the whole pool. We put in a new electric panel. We put in the wired smoke alarm. We did everything we needed to do to get this house ready. And on our application for the business tax receipt, where it said type of business, we wrote in their vacation rental. At no time did anybody from the city contact us and say, oh, sorry, you're not allowed to do vacation rentals in the city. It was approved. We paid the fees. That was approved. We paid taxes to the state, the 12.5%, you know, the 6.5% to the state, the 6% to the county. We've always paid our taxes. We don't claim this as homestead. You know, I'm not one of those homeowners. When I put it on VRBO and HomeAway, I didn't hide the front of my house so that it wasn't discovered. I did everything by the book that I thought I was supposed to be doing. And it wasn't until we found out about this, we were like, what? We're not allowed to do short-term rentals in Daytona Beach? And that's when I sort of started, you know, trying to figure out why are they saying this? Because they approved it. We said we were going to do a vacation rental. And that's, you know, when I started to think, well, I'm not really even sure I agree that they're prohibited, but we've decided we don't want to fight that legal fight. We are aware of the 2011 state law that says that local governments cannot prohibit vacation rentals. I understand the city believes that they're grandfathered into that because of their old code. But I also feel personally, and as a lawyer, that the minute you repealed that old code and enacted a new one that was different, you lost your grandfather status. But that's a legal argument to be made with the circuit court, whatever. We've decided we don't really want to take that action. We don't want to go forward like that, you know, unless we absolutely have to. So we put the house up for sale. That right now, the house was listed on Monday. It's on the market. We plan to sell it, and that's where we stand right now. If we can't sell it for, you know, what we'd like to get for it, we will switch to long-term rentals. But it's no longer VRBO. It's no longer on HomeAway. But we do have a few remaining bookings to finish out. And these were bookings we made a long time ago in reliance on our approval that we could do this. You know, I don't think it's fair to those guests to say, hey, 2 months before Bike Week, go find something else. That's just not possible for people. Bike Week rentals, they book up year in advance. You know, usually I'll have people say, you know, just hold my deposit for the next year. So I don't think that's fair to do to them, and I don't think it's fair to do to us since we had this approval. I realize it.
I have a question for you. You said that you put vacation rental on your application for a permit.
Do you
have a copy of that?
Yes,
do we have a copy of that?
I have a copy.
Do you have it? Okay, because I have it too.
Thank you.
Exactly. What is the definition of vacation?
If I may.
Can you wait 1 second and let me? Okay. Clearly says, I'm going to read this, type of business, number 4 on the front page, business tax receipt application, says vacation rental. Clearly stated.
And our city definition of vacation rental?
I don't know. That's what we need to determine.
Was there a question on this?
The definition according to whatever ordinance we have, what is a vacation rental? Is there a time limit or time, minimal time, maximum time?
I'll just state, like, at the time we pulled this out, to my knowledge, I couldn't find anything that defined a vacation rental. I do know the state, I think, now defines that, but I don't know. I don't. There was nothing that I could find in the city ordinances. Thank you.
Because part of that definition includes the taxes that are due to the sales tax, isn't there? Are you paying sales tax on those?
Yes, I have paid since the start of this particular rental more than $9,000 in taxes. The state and the county, the 12.5%, it's divided up. Any other comments from the board?
Am I going to get an answer from the city as to what a vacation
rental? I thought you were. That's all. Yeah.
No. We need to know the definition and why that was approved.
Madam Chair, I don't believe that that's. I don't have that answer. That's something that happened in 2015, and there may be other errors that happened in 2015. I don't know that. I would say that we're not disputing. What she's saying regarding what was on the application, as you see, that was on the application. What we have done is resolve, or at least what we believe would be a fair solution in having them found in non-compliance, understanding that we do want to maintain the neighborhood and the integrity of the neighborhoods as we intended in our land development code, and allowing them the reasonable time to come into compliance, which we tend to do with these cases.
Could I add something?
Go ahead.
I just want to let you know, if you saw the house, and I did bring a copy of the listing, it's a beautiful house. It does nothing but enhance our neighborhood. I completely understand when neighbors get concerned if there's, you know, parking all over,
absolutely,
a lot of parties. I get it. My husband and I live next to a vacation rental. Mm-hmm. And the first thing we do every time a new group arrives, we go over and we meet them. And I've found that the minute you meet them, the rest of the week goes really well. They treat you respectfully because you're human to them now. You're not just, you know, a house next door. So what we do with this house, when we first bought it, we went to our next door neighbors. We introduced ourselves to them. We told them what we were going to be doing. We gave them our phone number. We said, please call us if there's any issues, because we don't intentionally rent to anybody who is going to cause problems. And if there are problems, we want to know about it. And we do have a neighbor on one side of us who does call us if there's any concerns, and we immediately go out to that house and we immediately address any of those concerns. I think what originally brought all this up was there had been a neighbor, it wasn't one of our side neighbors who we've met and given our number to. I think it was the one behind us that's on the other side of the fence. I think we had a group that did like a little wedding reception one evening. And about 9 at night, we used to have speakers out on our lanai, and I think they had music on. Our neighbor called us directly and said, hey, you know, they've got this music on. It's getting late. We said, we'll get there immediately. At first, I tried to call them. I could not get the renters. So I immediately came to the house. And by the time we got there, we walked in, and truly, our house looked beautiful. They had like little twinkly lights. They were having a little wedding reception. It wasn't like a wild party with drinking and teenagers or whatever. We don't rent to young kids. And after that, what we did was we took those speakers out. The speakers that were on the lanai, they were there when we bought the house. We just removed them because we thought we don't want that problem again. The reason I'm telling you this is not, you know, to have you say, oh, sure, go do short-term rentals. I realize the position is we cannot do those anymore. I get that. But I'm just asking, you know, I guess for some fairness, because we thought it was okay, and we are good neighbors, and we're not slum landlords. We do take care of our property, and we do try and treat our neighbors respectfully. So we would just ask to give us time, get the rest of them gone. We're selling the house, and the problem, at least from our, you know, our house for you guys, will go away. So
I have another question.
Yes.
When you rent to someone for bike week, Do you have a discussion with them about how many people are going to be allowed?
Absolutely. We do not allow at our house more than 8 people. We have in our rental agreement a provision where they have to initial saying, you know, this is the amount of people that have been agreed to, and if you exceed this, we have the right, first of all, just to keep your deposit straight out and to ask you to leave. So we make it very clear. We make it clear in our rental agreement, it says that you're not allowed to have parties. I have had people who will call me and say, hey, like this one, would it be okay, you know, we're having a wedding on the beach or whatever, if we have a few people over to the house after the wedding, and I said yes to them. And there was another time somebody asked me if they could, I think it was somebody's kid was graduating from Emory Riddle, and he says, is it okay if we have some people over at the house after the graduation? And because of this other issue, and I know my neighbor doesn't like when there's a lot of cars on the street, I said, you know what? That's fine, but could you please have everyone park over in that big parking lot behind the Publix? It's, you know, the Publix and Bel Air Plaza. I said, could you just have them park there and walk over? So I really do make a big effort to try not to disturb the neighbors and, you know, make it a pleasant event for everybody, not just for my renters.
Are you, you're a resident of Daytona Beach?
We live in Daytona Beach Shores, our primary residence.
And are you a realtor here in Daytona?
Yeah, I'm a realtor, yes, everywhere around here.
And how long have you been a realtor?
I have been a realtor September 2014, I think. I actually did have a license before that, and then I let it go because I didn't use it.
You have never sold property in the city proper where there is the 6-month minimum rental code?
I've never had any, like, properties where that issue came up at all, except if it was a condo or something, because a lot of the condos will have rental restrictions.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jackson, what's your recommendation?
The city recommends a finding of noncompliance and for them to be in compliance by the April cutoff.
Does this stand as precedent?
No, it doesn't. But no. It is a stipulation between both. I believe Ms. Compton would say that she's stipulating to that. So there's nothing that I know. There's things you want to discuss, but nothing that's
right.
Really in dispute.
Okay. So this would mean that she would continue to rent it out through Bike Week. Is that my understanding?
I think what she's explaining is she's completing long-standing contracts. I don't believe she has any intent to recreate anything, and she's no longer posted to create anything new. Is that?
Yeah, so the board understands. So we had rentals all the way out through next November. I've already canceled most of those. The only ones I have left are through, I guess, the end of March. I think there's one that goes into the start of April. I have just been trying to find other spots for these people as I can. I know Bike Week, that's just not going to happen. They're not going to be able to find anywhere else.
How many people are you renting to? How many different groups between now and then?
I think I have 4 left. Give me 1 second.
And how many in each party? Okay.
Let's see. There's one. I don't have the number. I mean, I know in no event none of them would exceed 8, and sometimes that.
How many bedrooms are there?
There's 4 bedrooms. There's 2 baths. The bedrooms, one is a king size. 2 of them are queen size, and then the other has a twin and a full in it. So typically what happens, you know, Bike Week, not for Bike Week, but typically what happens is you might have 1 or 2 couples, and they come with their children. That's generally what you see. The only time you really have, like, all adults is when it's a Bike Week or something.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the board?
I recall
situation similar to this just recently, and we denied them to being able to rent after the court or after the hearing. I think if we change that, it would be a deter from past behaviors.
I agree with Mrs. House on this one. That's
you know, I understand, you know, your circumstance, and I understand Mr. Jackson's circumstance, but I think it's setting a precedent that you know, it's what's the cutoff, because the next person that will come in, well, you know, it's the next. It's only going to be 3 months, and we deny that. They says, "Well, in this case, you allowed it," and I think that it's. I would be opposed.
Well, let me just say one thing. Right now, we are looking at compliance or non-compliance. If we decide on non-compliance, since we're not having a meeting in March, compliance would have to be achieved by April 5th. Is that is that right? That is the issue. Is that the issue that's before us right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
If I can just say this, I hear the points being made. I just want to remind the board what the difference is. The difference is that in the other cases there were no substantial legal disputes. In this case, I would agree that we do have a substantial legal dispute. It's been presented, and I think that
the legal dispute because of the permit that was issued?
There are, yes.
What else?
There's other legal issues. But
okay, I think those are issues that would be better, you know, from the best interest of the city to be dealt with between the city attorney and applicants and those types of things. But the information from the city is that the position of the city is that we believe that this is a fair and reasonable solution and in the best interest of the city to resolve it as suggested. Alternatives were that the city could have chosen to withdraw or continue, which would not have put you in this position, but we, out of respect, we believe that we want this to be in your hands and in your consideration, and so it is brought that way. However, I do believe that it's in the best interest of the city if we can resolve it in a way in which we stipulated and agreed. And so that's all I have to have.
Isn't this the way we would resolve it if it came to the board? That's our choices, compliance or non-compliance.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, but at some point, could we have done a will fine?
Well, once we make the finding of non-compliance, as you may recall, that creates the will fine effect.
Okay. Yeah.
However, our issue is question of
today.
Whether or not
Correct.
We
okay.
declare it in compliance,
Correct.
And we're not at this point.
Okay. I'm just going to... I don't see another reasonable way to find this case. What's in front of us? It's compliance or non-compliance. If we had had a meeting next month, all right, now I have another question. Can we... I guess we can't. Never mind.
I don't think we need to be concerned about her booking.
Right. Well, I absolutely agree. We need to put a date, but we can't ask someone to be in compliance by 3-1 and then not have a meeting. Or can we?
So we do it.
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking the question.
They need to be in compliance now, but we don't have that authority to do that. All we need to do is find the non-compliance, give them to the next cutoff date. If they're in compliance at that date, it goes away. If they're not in compliance after that date, they got a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that, too. All right.
And I can assure you, I hope to have my house under contract by then. They'll all be gone.
No, I appreciate that you fixed the house up and it looks nice. I appreciate that. I think we all appreciate that when someone takes an interest in a house. So that's not an issue for us. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which would be 4/5/2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed, motion carries.
Thank you, board.
Okay, now, I'm sorry, everyone, we'll move back to the other cases. Some of you have been waiting a long time, and I'm sorry. That's why I don't like to go out of order. All right, so we'll go back to case number one, CEB 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association. Please come forward. Good morning. Please be sworn in.
Good morning. Could you all state your names, please?
William Turcott.
Steve Merchant, I'm the association president.
Stephen Falk, the vice president.
Okay, you raise your right hand. Please do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So I'll be done.
Thank you.
Okay, we're here for a progress report. Mr. Jackson, can you tell us what's happening?
Madam Chair, members of the board, inspector, well, this is before you for a progress report.
Correct.
Inspector's Tom Fleet, the inspector reports to me that he has not received any update. I believe if I'm just looking at past record, I thought they were supposed to be getting construction started in January, but I
remember that.
I would have to hear from the respondents and see where their status.
Okay. All right. So let's hear.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm the contractor that's going to be doing the work.
Okay.
After the hurricanes, we got extremely busy trying to help clients get put back together. So we did bump that schedule back about 30 days.
Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you were here?
November. Yeah.
Was it October?
Yeah, several months ago.
I think it was October. Initially, it was going to be every 2 months.
Right.
Because of Christmas, I think it put back to this.
Okay. Okay, right. Thank you.
We went
okay.
In, we fixed the structural column that was damaged. We gave you a report on that. We're actually scheduled to mobilize on Monday, so this project's finally going to get started. So
okay.
The project is starting Monday, the, what is that, the 13th?
Mm-hmm. Have you discussed with your clients the eventual compliance date?
The entire project is expected to take about 8 months. We're actually doing a complete restoration on the parking garages in both the east and the southwest structure. So when we're finished, the entire structure will be in compliance.
And all the safety issues will be addressed first.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, when we went in earlier in the year, and we did address, the engineer had one structural column that he was very concerned about, and we went in and fixed that. And we surveyed the building and knocked off anything that was loose or in any danger of hitting anyone. And we're ready to get started. So we'll get it done now.
Okay. Would you like to say anything else?
The only thing I'd like to say to it is that every time we've ever come here, we've been very forthright and we've done everything that we've said we're going to do. The original contract was debated in the beginning. When we went forward with the contract, we immediately were willing to move forward from day one, and it was the contractor that, due to his commitments at the time, pushed us to January.
I remember.
This push that won't start until Monday was certainly not our initiative. It was absolutely by the contractor that he was tied up to not be able to get crews. So I don't want you to think that we don't have the money and we weren't prepared to move forward. It was controlled by the contractor. And we're over there right now moving cars to have construction and all that begin on Monday morning.
Okay. Anything else? Mr. Klieg, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. Other than they worked closely with me on this, and that's we'll wait for a compliance date, basically, to see when it's going to go forward.
Okay. Okay. I have a few questions. Do we have a date for compliance? We don't have a date for total compliance. And our progress reports were due every other month?
Yes, ma'am. I think we're almost in compliance with what the city actually wanted in terms of code violations. Most of what we're doing now is just cosmetic, but most of what the compliance issues, hopefully, okay, we're there or thereabouts. We'll be doing progress reports every 2 months, based on the contractor's comments about taking 8 months or so to do the whole work. Then we're looking around October for the work to be finished,
okay,
in total.
All right, well, that's kind of far out to set a compliance date, but my feeling is that we probably need to continue.
We have a bi-monthly scheduled throughout the end.
Okay, so, and we're not having a meeting next month, so you'll be back in April?
I have April 13th, then June 8th,
good,
then August,
okay,
10th.
Terrific. Is that all right? Motion to continue progress reports? We don't even need that? Okay. All right. See you in April.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, case number 2, CEB04-16-20, David E. Spivey, is cited for failure, okay, on Vine Street, 1100 Vine Street, outside storage. Please come forward.
Good morning. If you both could state your name for the record, please.
David Spivey.
And ma'am, are you going to be testifying?
Yes, his wife, Rhonda.
Can you both raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mr. Stinson and Mr. Jackson, where are we today?
Madam Chair, members of the board, we're here on a finding of imposition of fine. I think we've continued this, if I'm remembering right. And Mr. Garcia said he'd like to address you. As you may recall, at the last meeting, we had some folks that came up and said they would help.
Right, I remember that.
And they are making progress, and he just wanted to go ahead and give you information on that and ask for additional time to get them, keep the progress going.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, Hector Garcia, Neighborhood Services Division Manager. We're here for 1100 Vine Street. Myself and Inspector Stenson went out last week. Actually, no, the beginning of this week, we did an inspection. There has been, in my opinion, a vast improvement on the property. Inspector Stenson went out yesterday, as you can see as the pictures are reflecting, or rather this morning. And took additional photos where, again, progress is being done. As I stated to you guys at the previous hearing, this isn't going to happen in an expeditious manner. But the mere fact that the couple that did step forward and they have been diligently working, and if you see the photos, you can see that there has been quite a bit of an improvement. With that being said, we have spoken to the Spiveys and we have spoken to the volunteers, so to speak, that are cleaning up the property, and said to them, okay, with the amount of work that they're doing and everything else, we feel that they should be into compliance by the April cutoff.
Really? Okay. 2 more months, right? Mm-hmm.
So that's our recommendation to the board.
All right. Does anybody have any questions? I can see that there's been a big improvement. I mean, there's a huge, to me, I mean, it's a lot better. You've been working with them, right? With the couple that came?
Yes.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Actually, her brother had come and helped us right after the fire, and we had no idea they were related or anything. And so he said they just showed up.
Wow, that's, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
okay.
And we do have a dumpster in the backyard right now, and the man's supposed to come Saturday to knock
good.
And off of the house there.
Okay, so we are just going to continue this case, motion to continue the case until April 5th, 2017. As the compliance date, yes, till April 5th as a compliance date.
So we want to amend
the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until April 5th to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. We'll see you in a couple months.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. So we've done case number 1, 2, and 3. We'll go to case number 4, CEB01-17-03. Amber Nicole Chavez. Respondent present? No? Okay.
Madam
this is at 1312 Phillips Street.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that we're actually asking that you dismiss this case. The property was sold on the date of the last hearing. The new owners are making progress and working with the inspector, and so he's asking that we just dismiss this because it's already at imposition of a fine. It's something we
just want to dismiss.
Right, yeah, something we need y'all to do.
And they are working on.
The inspector is, I'm sorry, the inspector
Mr.
is Jerry Sanders. And,
yeah, come on up. Okay.
Good morning.
Hi.
Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Beach Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file. Yes, the property, he had to wait a couple weeks since the last hearing. The sale was of date of the last hearing, so he did make contact. I told him what the outcome was, and he said he would get the permits pulled as soon as possible. He did receive the notice of violation, and he addressed every issue. He had to wait 2 weeks on his permits and everything to be, you know, fixed. This is the progress as of yesterday. Significant improvement.
Yeah.
The trees are going in the back, and I really didn't want to mess with the crew because they were, you know, getting on and getting us into compliance.
That's what we want to see.
Okay.
Okay. Any comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to dismiss case number CEB01-17-03. Is there such a motion, Mrs. Himes? Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay, motion carries.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to case number 5, CEB01-17-04, David E. Pitts Estate at 1320 Phillips Street. Respondent present? Not his estate, but someone... No one from the estate is present? Okay.
No, Madam Chair. I think what we found was there was only a will deposited, but
no formal estate,
just a will.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson. What can you tell us?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is before you've been in position of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. This is a situation where we followed all of the statutory requirements of notice. We have not actually had any contact with anyone, but it's ultimately has been properly posted and nothing's been done. The property is neglected and abandoned, and so we're asking for an imposition of a fine of $250 a day to a maximum of $10,000.
So, okay. So, no contact, no nothing, no progress. Anybody have any comments?
You posted the property?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Been posted. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Jackson or Mr. Sanders? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, February 9th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So
motion, Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Hey, case number 6, CEB 01-17-04.
I'm sorry, may I interrupt?
And
I know we don't like to go out of order. We have a circumstance where we just need to hear from a member of staff who is asking if we can just bring it forward.
All right, so we're not going to do case number 6. What case would you like to do?
We'd like to do case number 12.
A new case. Okay. All right, case number 12. We're going out of order again.
We must have order.
Everybody's titled to fair time, so. CEB 02-17-09, Bella Vita Estates, Inc. at 923 North Beach Street. Respondent present?
Yes.
Please come forward and be sworn in.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you
state your
name, please?
Yes, I'm George Eileen. I'm the owner of Bella Vita.
Can you swear your last name for me, please?
Yes, I-L-I-E.
I-L-I-E. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you raise your right hand, please, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And you are the owner?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. The property is in noncompliance, and we're asking for an April cutoff for the property to come into compliance. This is a matter where, as you see, we cited day labor services prohibited in a redevelopment district. It's a zoning violation. It's a prohibited day labor service. I think we had a challenge where the initial application indicated or the initial approval was for employment services, which is a different zoning designation, and employment services are allowed, but once they were operating, they were operating as a day labor service based on the way that we classify and define. And so nevertheless, everyone's working together to making progress. They will be in compliance according to our redevelopment staff, and they just ask that we give them until the April cutoff. I've had some correspondence from redevelopment staff just clarifying that if there was any confusion, but that's the gist of where we are, just the difference in those two, and that they're resolving it to become
compliance. What will make it in compliance? Changing the...
Not being the manner in which they operate or going to another location. I'm not sure which one they've resolved, which method they... Yeah, they're okay. I'm just getting a little update, but they're going to another location to comply.
Any other comments? Any comments from the board? All right. Would you like to come forward, Mr. Eiley, and tell us about what's going on?
Yes, ma'am. good morning.
Good morning,
the board. We were informed that my tenant was not complying with the city ordinance with the redevelopment zone.
Okay.
And we sent them a letter to give them 50 days to comply.
How many days? 15 days.
15.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yes. And in our triple leads, we mentioned that they can use the premise just for office only,
mm-hmm.
and they obviously they don't do that. So after 15 days, my lawyer already sent a letter of termination of the lease because they are not compliant. Okay. And just in their defense, they do put a lot of effort to maintain the area very clean and, and also the people that are coming to stay inside and not hanging outside of the business. So, if we can allow them to relocate, actively.
You'll have 2 months.
Actively are looking to relocate, and due to their requirements with video cameras and takes to the
room. Okay. Does the board have any questions?
So they are they're not relocating, they're remodeling?
No, no, they are relocating.
They're relocating.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
They will vacate my building.
Okay. Mr. Reed doesn't have a problem with it.
No, sir. I have some correspondence that was sent from the staff as well. This is staff. We're working it out. It's working this way we need it to.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order to respondent come into compliance by the April 5th, 2017 cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mrs. House, second. Mr. Weatherholtz, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Have till April. Thank you. All right, now let's go back. Two, three, four. I think we're on case number 6. Would that be right? CEB 01-17-05. Sondora and Davis and Sondora Davis and Kenzel Washington at 349 Wilson Avenue. Please come forward and be sworn in. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Say your name for the record.
Jeremiah Scott.
Yep.
Angela Dodd.
I'm sorry, can you?
Angela Dodd.
And what is your relationship to the?
Sandora, that's my daughter.
Sandora is your boss?
My daughter.
Oh, your daughter?
That's my niece.
Yeah, and your niece. Okay, got it. Okay.
Okay. You have the authority to speak to that today.
Okay. All right, we're going to. Sorry.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, we'll call you up in a minute. We're going to hear from Mr. Jackson first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. And to be quite honest, the position of staff initially was that they were going to be asking for a fine. But in the 11th hour, the respondents have gone out and done substantial work, at least in removing vehicles. I think they removed 6 or 7 vehicles, which was one of the principal problems. The inspector for this property is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders is asking that you allow them to next call so they can complete the job of getting this property in compliance. A couple of the problems that we raised before, we still would like to see them get some fire under them to resolve. One particular one is getting the pod moved. It's still sitting, that small portion on the right-of-way, which we talked about before. All they have to do, call the pod company, tell them pull it back. They are loading that up, so we're understanding that. That's part of the process when you get a pod, that you fill it up and then you have that stuff moved. So my understanding from the inspectors, that's what they're doing. They're loading the pod and as they ought to, and they're resolving the problems that we need resolved. But we would like that pod moved off of the portion of the right-of-way where it is. And of course, we don't want to wait until the 11th hour again on if we give them this additional time. We need them to continue working with the progress that they've shown over the last 48 hours. And I turn to Mr. Sanders if you have any other factual questions.
Good morning. Jerry Sanders again, City of Daytona Beach.
credentials are on file. The property owner has done what they said they were going to do every time they've established contact, and they hold true to their word. They're saying, you know, we're going to get this moved. It's going to take a little bit more time. But the cars was, you know, all the vehicles, that was amazing. They said last night we're getting them all out, and they did. So that I feel like that if we give them more time, compliance will be met.
Okay.
They removed all the vehicles from the property.
All the vehicles are gone.
All right, hold on.
So,
come up and you can talk now.
If I can whistle, it's clean as a whistle.
Oh, really?
Everything
okay.
Everything is gone, but all the problems we're having is all the stuff, like I said, we put on the side, all the bags and stuff, and all the trash.
I see that. That in that picture. That's yes.
We have pictures of it. It's everything that cleaned out the yard has been sitting there since the first meeting we had. They never came and picked it up. I've been calling him and telling him that he gave me the number to call down to the garbage people.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that who trash was it. I said, well, it belonged to the city now. And some lady told me that they've been working with them, but they would not pick up anything. So it's going to sit there to whenever. But we have pictures of it.
Pick it up or not?
They haven't did anything. I've been calling down to the garbage collector, and they drive right by
Wilson.
And I'm piled and piled and everything. But they never. Anytime we put anything out, they never come and pick it up. They never did.
I'd like some clarification from the city on this. I don't understand what's going on with this. I mean, is that picture accurate that we're seeing of the 8th yesterday with that big pile of trash there?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And whose property is that on?
Yesterday I spoke to the manager of Waste Pro,
mm-hmm,
that handles it for our city. He
mm-hmm
went out personally. Waste Pro will be going out there to pick it up. The problem lies is that there's been some sort of miscommunication
mm-hmm
between the property owner and Waste
mm-hmm
Pro of who's going to pay for that. Property owners will be assessed the fee for that,
mm-hmm,
and it's going to get removed.
Okay, that's good. That's what we want.
I seen a bear sitting on it this morning.
That's what, I want to speak.
Okay.
Good morning, board. That's what the situation I was talking about, and I was trying to explain to about the storm situation. When the storm came, it's ridiculous. From the storm, it stayed out there 2 months. We couldn't even clean up for the storm, and we was a victim of the storm. This the problem we have, and then one after another, and then we have to get the cars out. You know, I mean, that is enough stress and compliance. Even Mr. Sanders can't even deal. I even talked. He said his supervisor talked. So I said, see, Mr. Sanders, what we as a storm victim, we had to deal with the pile in the front of the yard. Then to come to the compliance about the cars. So that's what we've been struggling and trying to do. Now we got to get back from the storm. We're storm victim, you know. So we are being compliant. So we just want this out so we could carry on, you know, do whatever we got. But the city need to get the stuff. I mean, FEMA people, it was the same way with them. And I had to go and call and tell them. So we need to move on, you know what I mean, to get ourselves together with this. This was the situation.
All the cars, everything is the whole yard. It's nothing there.
Okay, we believe you.
And all everything is clean. So
okay, good.
The day is the end of the day.
Okay, and another thing.
We do need to discuss the pot.
Okay, right. Another thing I want to discuss with the pot.
Okay.
As a storm victim with the pot, we have to use the pot to do something, but once we get compliance and do what all we had to do, and the pot is moved out the way, that's the way it can, we have to still continue to, you know, get stuff to put, you know, our good stuff to move out and work with that. So, I mean, if you could give us some time, you know, for that, and as we, you know, the cars and all that staying up and what else we got to do, but we still have stuff we have to move in there to clean up in the inside and, you know, do as, you know, fix it. So
whose property is the pod on?
It's no way.
I'm not asking you. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, you may recall, I think it's a small portion of it is on the right-of-way.
It's on the city right-of-way?
On the city's right-of-way, yes.
The city right-of-way, okay.
And so I think there's two issues that she talks about,
right.
The plan. I think you'll understand that. One is them having it there and filling it. We're okay with that. And we're asking, that's really the time they need in terms of ultimate compliance, but we need it moved off the right of way, and they can contact the pod and company and have that moved, put more into the yard, and then they can finish the loading or whatever else they need to do while they have it there. But we just need it moved off the right of way.
Yeah, but as they put it there with the situation,
just wait one at a time, please, and talk to us, okay?
As a situation, that's the only way that the pod people could be able to put it there. So, they couldn't put it and lift it nowhere else because of trees, and when you have to lift different ways, that was the only place that they could put it. And you can't, can't put it right, like, now what you can't put it right in front of the house where you can be able to move. So what I'm saying now is just the time to give me. It's not in the road. It's not going to cause no accident. It's nothing that just give me time to do so I can restore it to inside and work there and do the compliance with that, and we can move on.
Okay, I have a question. Go ahead.
The thing what I think you're missing is, and they can move it, is to get it off of the city. Because if we involve accidents or something, I think that's what we're
doing.
But no, wait, excuse me. One of our board members is making a comment, so you have to listen to that.
I got you.
Then, what I'm saying, then once it's where it should be, then you will have that time to finish filling it. But this is a major issue right now.
Okay.
With it like that, as you said last time, you were here.
Yeah, it's the trees. It's a lot of trees, and they hollering nowhere else to put it. You know, it begins like a rock in the heart. See, that's just the only way, because there's nowhere else to put it. You know what I'm saying? Where my yard made. I only have a little small amount in the front.
If right. I can just, we moved all the cars. I believe there's probably space now. And if you just contact them, they probably can find a place where they couldn't find before when all of the cars and everything else was there. So just go ahead and give them a call. Tell them you need it moved. Tell them the city is telling you, you got to get it moved. Off of the city's right away.
Can I just ask a question? How much longer is it going to take you to fill up the pod?
See, what I'm doing is I'm bringing stuff out with the flood. I'm bringing stuff out, moving it in to try to fix the part in there with the flood. So I'm using it back and forth, too, because, that helping me to get and fix the stuff I got.
I understand why you're using it, but how long will it take?
Well, it'll take a probably... Might be by April.
I hope so.
Be finished with that. But I'm gonna call them. I'm gonna call them and try to see if that can go up. They can move it. I'm gonna ask them. If not, I just gotta let them know that regardless of by April, I have to have it out there.
If they won't move it, make sure you tell the inspector, and we'll take whatever action we have to take. But
I keep in contact with them.
Yeah, we really believe they will if you tell them.
Is there anything you want to tell us?
Yes, ma'am. Just a suggestion. Since the truck's moved, and this is a suggestion.
Go ahead and take the mic.
Have the pod, if you have the pod people move the angle of the pod back towards your property, it takes it off the right of way behind the telephone pole. Yeah. It's that simple, because the truck's gone now.
Yeah.
And you have that room. So you should be able to do that. And when it's done, call me. We'll take pictures and we can.
Well, thank you.
This is the same. We asked that. That's amazing how they would even put it on the city right away in the beginning.
Yeah, I could see where they did because
the vehicles were there.
Yeah.
Well, that was still, they shouldn't have, but.
Yeah.
The car sitting back behind it, so they couldn't.
Madam Chair, we're asking that they be.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Jackson, what is your recommendation at this point?
Madam Chair, we're asking that one, it be ordered to have that pod removed by Monday, whatever date that is, and that the remainder we they become in compliance by the April cutoff for everything else. But that they, okay. We want the part removed by Monday.
Okay.
Move back off the right of way. Clarify.
Yeah,
yes.
Move from the right of way. We're going to get that thing.
Back from the right of way.
Monday's the 13th. Okay. All right. Any other comments?
Okay. What Monday? By the Monday?
Monday.
Okay.
Business day.
Okay. All right. I'll try to get move that.
Do I look strong enough to move it?
No. All right.
All right.
The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until the next cutoff day, April 5th, to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until a compliance is achieved, and further move further order that the pod be removed from the right from the city right of way by Monday, February 13th. Is there such a motion? All right.
Did you have a motion?
Okay. Motion, Mrs. Heim, second, Mr. Smart, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, boy.
All right. Now we're going to move on to our new cases. Case number 10, CEB 02-17-11, ACM Vision VLL Vision 5 LLC at 338 Fulton. Is the respondent present? Someone representing the company present? No. Okay. This is just for compliance or noncompliance.
Okay. So, well, just someone called yesterday asking what the violations were. They were looking to purchase it. So,
neither here nor there.
We may have a new owner at some point.
It's okay. Well, we don't yet. So
let's start with this part.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is simply for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector, I think, as Ms. Hampton informed you, and this is what the information from the inspector was, the inspector, Jerome McCoy, he knows that the property management is trying to sell the property, but they've elected to sell rather than clean up. And so it remains in noncompliance. We ask that they be in compliance by next time.
And that's unfortunately 2 months from now, because that is...
Well, you know, it's unfortunate.
I know, it's not our fault. I feel like I need to just point out that that is unacceptable in this city for a day, let alone 2 months.
Can the city go in there and pick that junk off that's out there and build them, or is that private property and you can't touch it?
It's private property.
Yeah.
There's circumstances that have to, you know, we'll look at those circumstances if something allows us, but at this point, right now we're not able to.
So it says the exterior property sanitation, rodent harborage. That's not considered.
Yeah, that can raise it into condemnation type stuff, but we have to make some determinations, and if it's not imminent, then we have to get action, commission action for it to be.
You have to
we also have a removal
action?
Program. Different things. I'm sorry. I'm just talking the general plate, if I may. So the extent of absolutes, I don't know because I don't have enough information. But, yes, we do have a program for waste removal that may be appropriate for it if we can determine that it's by contract, whether we can do it before they do it or whoever wants to buy it or whoever's trying to sell it, we don't know. But, yeah, that's one way. There's another. We can possibly condemn it. We have a condemnation program, which would be, again, all these outside of the code board's authority. But it is things that we have as tools available. So, yeah, we can sit and look at some of those other things. I think the only tool that y'all have is the one to say, come into compliance or we're going to
be fine. We can also, I mean, sometimes we make motions to authorize the city to go in and secure something if we feel...
Yeah. And
I mean, can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank
always.
You.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Any action to support your orders. You can place part of your order and take any no action and just solve the problem. And it's, you know, we can't order the commission to do
right, correct. Correct.
Well, I think if the commission saw this picture and our request.
Well, hopefully.
Is there anyone living in there?
Rats.
Yeah.
Morning, Ron McCoy, City of Daytona Beach.
Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ron McCoy, Neighborhood Service Inspector, Contention Zone 5. The property is vacant. There's no one living there.
Vacant. Okay.
Rats
okay. Well, that's good. Well, I don't know. Okay, so it's vacant, which is good. But I don't think the neighbors on either side, back or behind.
It's pretty much the doors are, everything's intact. The window's intact. There's maybe like one window that's broken.
Uh-huh.
It's just the debris.
Okay. Any other comments from the board?
Before, there are no neighbors on either side.
It's a vacant. This lot next to it is vacant. I mean, it's an open lot, and the house that's next to it on the.
I think I see that, right?
Yes, that's
the. Uh huh.
The house on this side that's vacant as well. There's no neighbors there. But it did come in as a tracking complaint.
Right. So okay.
And I don't know how. It's been going on since December, so we need to take action now.
I agree. Okay, so the chair will entertain. Is every any more comments? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is April 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. And further, would like a motion to authorize the city to use everything available to get the property, all the resources available to get this property cleaned up. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart, second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay.
Okay, you have the authority to. You can't
ask.
You
can't
ask.
That's correct.
Tell the commission what to do.
We can ask. Surely
have the right to ask.
Right. Okay. All right. Now we're on to case number 15. We have two more cases. CB02-17-13, Ambassador of Business, Health, Wellness, and ECT, whatever that is, and his successors. At 1301 North Atlantic, failure to maintain windows. Respondent present?
Okay. No ambassador here?
No ambassador of business, health, wellness. What's...
Interstate Corporation.
What's ECT?
Et cetera.
I don't know. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. More. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
And then 1 second.
Yeah. So this is right on A1A?
In our tourist corridor.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspectors, Tom Cleek, Mr. Cleek, reports that the property remains in noncompliance, and he's asking that they be ordered to come into compliance by the next cutoff.
Mr. Cleek, you have anything to add?
Officer Cleek, my credentials are on file. Only thing about the windows that the people told me was that the tenants broke it out because the landlord wouldn't fix the property. He's saying the hurricanes did it. So they still have not. There's a couple other violations that will be coming up before you, but for this one.
Yeah, so this is just one violation, right. And if I look at that.
Yeah, there's other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that could be coming to them.
Like that picture. That's pretty obvious. So we're just ruling on this one thing, failure to maintain. Have you been in contact with this ambassador?
He finally told me, you know, he gave us a call because Officer Jasmer went out to issue another violation, and we met him at the property one day, and he's telling me that he went to the VA hospital and that he should get this in compliance by next cutoff. So.
Okay.
Well, let's give him that opportunity to find out if I'm compliant.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find. Are there any other comments? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order for respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is April 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Mrs. Himes made the motion. Mr. Smart, the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, our last case. CEB 02-17-14, Sandra Sue Lawrence at 301 Golf Boulevard. Respondent present? All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a as a repeat violation for parking in the yard. It's here for imposition of fines because it is repeat violation. The inspector reports that there's been 15 occurrences of this violation, and the folks who are sitting in the back are folks who have been affected, and I believe at least one of them would like to be heard. But the staff is requesting that there be a fine imposed of $15 each for each occurrence.
How much?
$50. I said 15. I'm sorry. $50 each for each occurrence, which would be $750 for the violation.
So for 15 violations, it would be $750 each?
No.
No.
Total.
That would be the total. It would be $50 each. That's recommendation of the staff.
Okay.
And Mr. Kaligas, the inspector, I attend to Mr. Kaligas as well as the he can identify who.
Yeah, come on forward, please.
I have a couple of questions. Are these the same cars that you see?
It's the same, the three cars, and he's just blatant and just parks on the grass by the mailbox. He was told verbally. And they knew they were here in December. They knew about parking, and he's just doing it to be spiteful.
And you're documenting each of these things.
And these the owners?
They're the tenants. Yep.
They're the tenants.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Okay.
And in this case also, they were supposed to appear and get. They told you last in December they're going to get a permit for the driveway, which was on the east side of the property. They have not even applied for one yet. So.
Okay. Let us hear from the neighbors. Please state your name and be sworn in.
Mary Toledo. Dalyn Purdy. I'm sorry. D-A-L-Y-N-N and P-U-R-D-Y.
And just, Douglas Ronzi, I won't be testifying. I'm the attorney for them. And there's a just for the board's edification. There's an ongoing investigation right now into a potential claim civilly against both the landlord and the renters for various situations. I think Mr. Jackson aware of them in case people came to testify today. But that's being as that they haven't come. I know Mr. Luther want to have just a brief statement.
Okay, go ahead. That's fine. Thank you.
Excuse me. That case has nothing to do with these parking violations.
Not specifically parking violations per se. The parking violations and the ongoing harassment from the tenants and including the owners are part and parcel of an ongoing situation, which I'm sure you don't want me to bore you with today.
I like hearing it.
All right, let's, yeah, we'll deal with this issue. Go ahead.
What this comes down to is this: the issues with the house, that you're dealing with a parking issue right now. I'm sure y'all can understand that this is way larger than this. This is just the only thing that you guys are seeing. Has been an enormous amount of traffic. Law enforcement's been on the property. People have been arrested. So, I mean, it's ongoing with that. You can obviously see that the owner doesn't seem to care. And now come to the conclusion that the property manager doesn't seem to care, because none of them are here. So with that being said, I mean, I don't have a lot to say other than I watch this every day. You know, I lay my head next to this house every day. I paid market value for my home. I spend a lot of money trying to improve it on a regular basis. The houses around me are worth, they're coming into over $200,000 right now. And then I have this one house next to me that I've asked and asked and asked to address. And it just seems to be going, next month. And, you know, so I'm hoping today we move forward with this. And actually, in my experiences, the only time people pay attention, especially owners of homes, is when you start taking money out of their pockets. Then you get their attention. So.
I was just going to say, we
go ahead.
Just random pictures here that we have taken. Just so that you guys know, this is an every single, everyday occurrence.
Okay.
Is this over by near the elementary school there on golf?
It's near it. It's near it, okay. Yes.
This is the house in question?
So where the red truck was parked?
Yes.
I'm sorry. So where the red truck there is parked,
yes,
evidently at some point was like a gravel driveway, because that part of the house behind it used to be a garage, and they converted it into a bedroom. So I'm assuming that was maybe the initial driveway. Where the parking issue is all that right there, and they just line them up.
I have a question for Mr. Klieg. I think I saw a notice in the window.
That's his business. If you go back there, Cliff, he's got some sort of home improvement business. But right there.
Oh yeah, big sign in the window over there. Yeah.
It says beware the owner or something like that. But the issue.
They're both raising the roof.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But thank what you. The issue is also, I have to stand corrected. I checked with our zoning people because I was trying to work with the property management company. They said, if you can go back, Cliff, please, that the structure on the left is not going to be their legal driveway because it's too close to the setback line. So that is supposed to be to the right of that white pickup right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that. They were supposed to go down and get the permit in December. And I've been working with them. They haven't even applied. So they know actually where the driveway should be, but nothing has been done.
So we're also going to see other violations from this case come forward?
Yeah, you will see one next month come forward. But what the problem is, too, and I should have took a lot more pictures, but every day I go by, there's continuous. They park to the left of that mailbox. It's like a big parking lot, and they do it, I think, to be spiteful to the neighbors here. So.
Well, and just because there's so many cars here, they simply can't fit them in. You know,
right, we get it.
That, but
it's kind of
an
idea. And if I may, the Board of Directors, I mean, here on December 8th, there was an issue about multiple residents in short-term rental.
Mm-hmm.
This, we think, is evidence of exactly what they're talking about. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the minutes should reflect they testified that there were only two adult residents in the house. I forwarded to Mr. Jackson. There was a 6 days after that hearing, there was actually a search warrant executed by Daytona Beach Police Department on that property at 5 a.m. in the morning, and they found Pierre, who is the named renter, and four other adults living in the house, several of them in bedrooms at 5 o'clock in the morning. This is an ongoing problem, as they said, so we just wanted to make sure the board heard from them in regard to that this is... We don't want to see this swept aside with a finding that hopefully they'll come in compliance. They have repeatedly thumbed their nose at compliance and don't seem to have any respect for the process.
So let's move on with what our issue is. We have the $750.
Well, I am not at all happy with $750. I mean, our orders, what we ordered before is that it could be up to $5,000 per occurrence. And if there are 15 documented occurrences, that's a lot of money. I'm sure, is there a limit on will fines as well as everything else?
No. No, not at all.
Oh, no limit on will fines. It's interesting.
$500 a day, back to the day of the first spot, so he's got some leeway.
Yeah.
A lot of leeway if you want to use it. Or is it part-time cash?
Well, we went in and did it as a per occurrence, and so we've identified specific occurrence as opposed to running fine.
You did $50 per occurrence.
Per occurrence, for 15 occurrences. Which, yeah, right, which can be up to $5,000.
Up to $5,000 per occurrence is what it says.
Yeah, and I'm sure the thought of staff is that it's not uncommon for us to become gradual, but I recognize as well with Chair saying that this is substantial in the number.
It is substantial.
And actually, from our first discussion, the inspector discovered even more photos and increased the number. So
where you are, $50, you're recommending $50 per occurrence, but you go up to actually $5,000.
That's correct. So it's really, yes, and that's really within the hands of
okay.
The
I would not be satisfied with anything less than $500 per occurrence. I will vote against anything less than that. So go ahead if yeah.
I make a motion for $1,000.
Well, not $1,000.
No, per occurrence.
Now you want two motions, one for $500.
No, I'm not making a motion. I'm just expressing my opinion. Yet we haven't made a motion yet, so I'd like to know what everybody feels is it because we have leeway to go up to $5,000 per occurrence.
I agree for $1,000.
I'll second it. $1,000. I think that, you know, we don't want to, we can go up.
Yeah, we could still go up from there.
From there.
No, per occurrence.
We're talking about $15,000.
It doesn't matter whether you pay it or not. I mean, that's not our, that becomes not our
statement that they need to fix the problem.
Right.
Because otherwise it's a slap on the
wrist. Okay. Mr. Harrington, what do you think?
I think we need to deal with these 15 occurrences and then put the slammer down on any further. I could, you know, if you wanted $100 occurrence for these first occurrences and then the next occurrence, we're going to go to $1,000 an occurrence, but I don't know. It's a little excessive, $1,000. I mean, I've seen so many worse.
Their behavior is excessive.
So many worse things here, and giving lean reviews on stuff, and now you're going to charge them $15,000 for 15 parking violations. Take a look around Bike Week. I mean, that's off subject, but they're paying nothing because it's finished before they get here. I just think it's out of
okay. Okay. So we're everywhere from 100 to 1,000. So
no, I can go higher, but I just
right now for this.
I just don't see 1,000.
How about 500, which puts it at 500 times 15, what is that? 7,500. It's either 75. Okay. So what is the feeling about that?
At the last meeting,
well, I think at the last time they were here, we ordered a will fine, correct? If it occurred again.
That's correct. Yeah. Compliance, not compliance.
Yeah. Compliance, right?
And the will fine was up to so much.
All right.
We said next time it would be a will fine.
Okay.
All right. All right. This is what we're doing.
I can live with 500, but not a thousand. I'll make the motion.
Make a motion for $1,000 per attorney.
All right. Let's just vote one at a time.
Okay.
That's what I mean. We have a motion. We're going to take one motion at a time and see what happens with it.
$1,000 per occurrence.
All right. A second. Okay, Mr. Weatherhall. All right. All in favor say aye. I think we need a roll call.
Yes.
Go ahead. Let's do roll call. Mr. Weatherhall.
Mr. Weatherhall?
Yes.
Mrs. House?
No.
Mrs. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
Mrs. Conde?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-2.
Okay. And that's the end of that case.
Yeah, we'll be back if it comes up again.
Okay.
Thank you, Board, for the time. Mr. Chino, I don't believe you're set.
All right. Okay, that ends the hearing of.
I think.
Go ahead.
Just to clarify that was $1,000
per occurrence,
which was
15. Correct.
Okay.
$50,000 fine.
Okay. Let's put that in. I think that's what everyone.
Put a number for 15 occurrence.
Yeah. Right. All right, we are finished with our regular business. Is there any miscellaneous business?
Yes.
You can discuss anything. Go ahead.
Definitions.
What? You know
wait a minute. Wait. Let Mrs. Himes, and then I'll take Mr. Harrington.
Another thing is with our attorney.
Talking to your mic.
With our attorney, too. When we say at one meeting that there's a cutoff, if this isn't done, can you come back again? We'll order the will fine. I think some of our problem is we don't order those fines. We put more hard in what they could do. But this case, I remembered very well, and it was going to be stopped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, I cannot see giving you $50 or $100 when you were supposed to correct the problem, yet you chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
And then we often ask, why has this case been on here so long?
Right.
Sometimes we have cases that be 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't agree with it.
Okay. Mr. Harrington?
We keep using terminology here, and I want to make sure I understand it. A vacation rental and a short-term rental. But
same thing.
What is it? The same thing, or are they?
Mr. Harrington, for each circumstance or situation, it may be a different determination of exactly what you're. In the situation of looking at something from 2015, the word vacation rental, how it was being applied may be something different than what it is today. I don't know that answer. I mean, so the definition. Yeah, we have a definition.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
mm-hmm.
according to, at least to what you heard, apparently there's currently a statutory definition for vacation rental. I don't know that. I hadn't researched it. But I think, so I guess that's the answer. I don't know.
I just feel if we're going to rule on something, we need to know that.
Well, we do know. I think we do know that.
No, we don't know that.
I don't think that was the essence of what you were asked to rule on. That's okay that you wanted to discuss it, but the essence of what you was asked to rule on was not whether or not they said vacation rental or not. That's a separate, independent legal issue that we're going to have to deal with in another circumstance.
As a statement, we need to know what.
Well,
and I appreciate that. And if you want me to look it up, I'll look it up and provide
the
information.
Because we're going to have more and more of these.
Right, we are.
We need to know that because there's legislation, my understanding, at the state level to do away with homeowners associations' ability to restrict.
Correct.
Yeah, I think, though, that we just have to remember that the enforcement arm itself is still a staff. An understanding of those terms.
All right.
And we'll give you our best understanding as staff. But, you know, what y'all do with the terms and the understanding of the terms, if they're different, they could be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something
right.
You know, I can't necessarily push or pull back
right.
from.
But sure, I mean, short-term rental covers.
Yeah, that's a violation.
Yeah, that's what the violation is.
Yeah, it covers it. So there,
yeah, we believe it covers it.
Yeah.
We believe that, you know, and we believe when someone uses the terms, at least this argument, I mean, I, of course, I'm not trying to lock ourselves in on positions, but there's
right.
an argument that could say, yeah, maybe that's what that meant. And so we have to
right. But I think that short-term rentals is pretty well defined in the LDC.
Short-term rental is, yeah.
Yes, and 6 months or less is a short-term rental, 6 months or less. So that means anything from 1 day to 6 months.
I don't know.
To me.
Mr. Cena,
yeah,
what?
I don't know if that's correct.
I know we weren't supposed to judge anything about the vacation rental, but when I saw that on the
I know, that was...
That was a little, you know, shaken, or couldn't make out who signed that. But in other words, if the city make a mistake and it comes here...
Yeah.
Then the city comes and acknowledge, which I think we did, and we deal with it in a way that's in the best interest of the city, which is what my effort was to do.
Right.
You gave her a break. She's going to be making some money next couple months.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's I really didn't like doing that. I mean, it was very difficult for me to do that, but realizing what I saw in front of me, where she was given a permit to do that, because...
And there's, you know, when things come and they're new, then things have to happen. You have to
right.
make adjustments. You have to make some
right.
changes. And certain things may be, you don't realize it until it occurs. So
right.
this is one where, you know, hopefully we won't see that again. But
right.
We're doing what we can to fix forms and make sure that it's a lot clearer.
Yeah. So okay. Well, that's good. That's perfect. All right. Anything else?
And who was the...
Oh, she was recording
for that case.
She was recording for that case. I mean, about the short-term rental. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was just necessary if there's the need for the appeal, and
yeah.
you know, just depending on that.
Yeah.
But with stipulations.
Right.
Selling the house anyway.
Yeah. We're
well, so she says. I mean, you know.
I don't know how naive a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Meeting adjourned.
Right.